Well, thanks for being with us today. I'm glad that you could come back to be with us today, Joshua. We had fun last week talking about these beautiful spheres right downtown in Seattle, didn't we?
We did, and Seattle is a beautiful city. And for the listeners who don't know, I did live in the area for quite some time, so I'm always happy to talk about Seattle.
And
always
it's my hometown, you know that.
And it's also your hometown, yeah. So it's nice to be able to talk about the old haunts, as it were.
But, you know, Seattle is also by the ocean. We have the ocean, and we have the lakes, and oh, my goodness. And everybody in Seattle loves the water. So this week we're going to talk about the ocean. Won't that be interesting?
It will, and that is also one of my favorite topics, is talking about the ocean, because I also love the ocean.
So that's why you're here today. And we also have Zach with us.
That's right. I'm very glad to be here and talking about the ocean.
And Zach, do you like the ocean?
I love the ocean. I love, in particular, waves. Mm. I like to surf. And so this topic about paddle boarding is pretty relevant for me.
Good. Well, you know, all of us here at Studio Classroom like to do scuba diving. You like to do that, don't you, Josh?
I love to go diving, and it's been one of the best ways to really explore a lot of the unique things that this area has to offer.
The ocean is another whole world, and when you go into the water, Zach, you're going to have to do that too, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
But there's another thing you can do in the ocean. You can swim in the ocean, or you can go boating, scuba diving. But we're going to find out that this is also used as a classroom for something. That's what we're going to talk about today.
That's right. It seems like a couple down in Dana Point. So we're kind of moving down now south of Seattle, moving into California, specifically to Dana Point, where a couple has started what's called the Paddle Academy. And they are mentoring kids in the ocean.
So that's the name of the article, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. And it is a unique kind of mentoring, because not every mentor gets a chance to use the ocean as a classroom.
Right. The ocean on the surface or under the water is still a good classroom, I think.
Definitely.
You? But we're talking about mentoring. Now, mentoring is very important, isn't it?
Certainly. It's a very good opportunity just to be able to learn from someone else. So in this case, this word mentoring, you know, if you are a mentor, you're teaching. You're offering your skill set or your perspective to maybe perhaps a younger or, just someone who needs mentoring or coaching.
Mm-hmm. When we think about that, the teachers do that, mentoring. And in offices, you often look up to people who've been there a long time, and they mentor or they help teach the new employees. It's kind of a common thing, and it's very popular. Everybody should have some mentors, shouldn't they?
Yeah, so not just someone to, like, inspire you, but also someone to show you the ropes, as it were, which is an expression that we use in English to kind of explain how things happen from a position of experience.
So where are we going to start today?
Well, we are on page 16 at the top, just under. We are on July 6th.
Okay, and so let's just take the first paragraph. Are you all ready to read?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
The ocean is the classroom, a unique kind of mentoring. Tyler Basher was deathly afraid of the water. Just getting past the surf break on a stand-up paddleboard was no easy feat, with a coach having to coax him along the jetty in the calm water during his first few weeks after joining the Paddle Academy. His mom, Andrea, thought there wasn't an athletic bone in his body, she admits. Back then, Basher couldn't have cared less about the outdoors, preferring to be glued to the television, zoned out on video games. Now, 15-year-old Basher is nothing like his former scared 12-year-old self. Basher is a fierce competitor on the water and considered one of the best in California at SUP competitions for his age division.
Well, you know, a lot of people that haven't been brought up near the water, whether it's a lake or an ocean, they're kind of afraid of the water. Have you met people like that?
I have. There's kind of this hesitation just because they don't have that personal experience or just the proper know-how to try something that's new to them.
I think a lot of people are also very, you know, rightly concerned about the water, because if you don't feel confident, you can easily get into a lot of trouble very quickly.
It's true. Things could kind of go south, as it were, just meaning it, things could go wrong pretty quickly, I think, in the water. So you
Some people are afraid of the water, and sometimes I've talked to people who are older, and they said they don't know how to swim. And to me, that's very surprising. I thought everybody knew how to swim. Fish swim, don't they?
Fish do swim. It comes naturally. And we even say that some people swim like a fish, which means that swimming in the water just really comes very naturally to them.
And if you've been brought up any place near the lake or a river or water, you probably learned swimming, right?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great activity that, you know, as a kid, I know for me, I was taught to swim at a young age. We had a neighborhood pool, and so it was just...
How old were you when you learned?
I think I got in there around 5 years old.
I want to say for me, too, so I lived in an area where there was a really strong summer school program, and one of the big things was the community pool, and they were very good about teaching young kids how to swim in swim class. And I want to say for me, it also was probably about 4 or 5 years old when I first went to my first swim class.
Well, I was born actually right practically next to the beach because we had a house in a place that was outside the city, and I just guess I always knew how to swim because you went to the water when you were just kids, you know. But I find when I teach people to swim that they're afraid of the water. So the first thing is you have to teach them not to be afraid of the water. And it's too bad to be afraid of the water because if you go out in a boat, you're afraid you're going to fall in the water. And, you know, if you know how to swim, you say, never mind, I can swim. And it's kind of a safety thing, isn't it?
It is very much a safety thing. Actually, one of the worst things you can do if you're in the water, even if you don't know how to swim, is to panic.
Yeah.
Because it's the panic that will really cause you to get in a lot of trouble to the point of where you could drown.
Well, fear is the greatest thing that you know take care of or anything you learn. Mm-hmm. But this guy, Taylor, he was deathly afraid of the water. He was just, you know, he just didn't even want to get in the water. Now, he talked about just getting past the surf break. Now, the surf, what is the surf on the water?
So here it's referring to those initial waves when you first are on the beach, and there's kind of a, we call it the break, and it's a lot of the white water that splashes up that meets you when
big
you
waves.
First get into the sea.
Yeah.
Right, and it can be quite intimidating. It's very loud. That kind of a thing.
But people that like to surf and go on the water, they think it's great. They like to go to California and Hawaii and places they say the surf is up, don't they?
They do, yes. And if you're going to go surfing or if you're going to play in the waves, what's really important to be able to do is to get through the break or get past the break where the waves are breaking so that you can start on the other side where they build up slowly and you can jump on them and then get to the part where they're really energetic because otherwise the waves are just going to break on top of you, and then that's no fun.
Well, you know, Josh, here they're talking about this paddle boarding, and I hadn't heard much about it till I read this article. We hear about surfing a lot, and a lot of people in Asia surf, too. But is there a big difference between being a surfer or being a paddleboard? Seems to me paddleboard would be easier because you've got more something underneath you.
Yeah, so it's different. It's a lot longer, but it's also a lot more buoyant
like a
and a little bit
kind of
wider, right? Mm-hmm. So many surfboards, if you were to put it in just flat water and stand on top of it, you'd sink.
Yeah.
Or it would sort of like...
You'd fall off.
Yeah, it would go all over the place because it needs to be moving to be stable. But a stand-up paddleboard is big enough to where if it's just sitting in water, you can stand up on it. You have to balance a little bit, but it's pretty stable.
Yep, that's right. The size can be a little bit intimidating because it's so big, but it actually is easier to maneuver once you're out in the water.
All right, one little surfboard is not easy to stand on.
No, it's not, right.
No, so there's a coach here. That means he's teaching him. And in order to get him to go out on that, he had to coax him. Now, sometimes people say, you have to do this. They command you. But sometimes that doesn't work. You cry, run away and hide. But if you say, come on, you can do it. I'll help you. That's coaching and coaxing.
Right.
It's like a gentle sort of encouragement as opposed to like a real strong, you have to do this.
That's right.
So he was trying to join this paddle academy. So we're going to find out more about it.
Right. So on their website, it mentions this paddle academy is kind of offers lessons and different workouts for whether you're a new beginner, kind of like Tyler was, or for intermediate or even like seasoned paddlers, just in order to improve their skills at paddle boarding.
Well, now, this boy that we're talking about, Tyler, what does his mom say about him?
Well, she uses a really interesting expression here. She says that she thought that there wasn't an athletic bone in his body.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a funny expression. And we'll use this in English sometimes to say that we don't think that anyone is not just capable of doing something, but really has no interest or no inclination to do
something. Now, that seems strange to me for a young kid, because I know I had five brothers, and they all played football and did things like that, and they all loved being athletic. Don't guys usually like athletics?
Well, a lot of guys, although really, to be quite honest, when I was a little kid, I was glued to books. I would be super happy just sitting inside reading books.
And you didn't want to go out and play baseball and all that?
No, not those kind of sports. I was a big fan of what we would call kick the flag. It's kind of like a group hide and go seek game. But as far as sports goes, not so much.
Yeah, and I think, Josh, you introduced a new term for us today. To be glued to something just means to kind of always be watching it.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's glued to the television.
Yeah, he says, I don't want to go outside. I'm going to just watch TV. And then it says he was zoned out on video games. We talk about zoned out meaning what?
Well, I will still actually do this sometimes. I try not to do it. But when you zone out doing something, it means that you're just focused on that thing and you literally are not paying attention to anything else, even to the point where somebody can be talking to you and you don't really hear them.
You don't listen much because you're zoned out on something.
Right. So as Tyler's kind of zoning out on video games, I think something like paddleboarding or even going swimming is far from what he would expect to be doing.
But he's 15 years old, and now there's a big change in his life, isn't there?
Yeah, it says that he is nothing like his scared 12-year-old self.
So 3 years later.
3 years later, and now he is no longer deathly afraid of the water, right?
That's right. He's now a fierce competitor. This word fierce, this adjective being that he's really intense about it. He really wants to win, and it looks like this through the help of SUP. He's got this knack or this desire to compete in paddleboarding.
So his mom was probably very surprised too, wasn't she?
Well, she was kind of the one that first noticed Tyler and the situation, and I think was a big encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to find out more about this. This, you know, they use this SUP, and what does that actually stand for?
Well, that's just sort of the shortening that they do for stand-up paddleboarding.
So stand-up paddleboarding. If somebody says, what do? You go surfing? No, I do SUP. Mm-hmm. Well, you know they're talking about stand-up paddleboarding. Probably most people wouldn't know if you said that. I don't think I would.
You would need the context, I think.
You would need the context a little bit, I think. It's become more and more popular in different areas, so people are familiar with
probably it. Probably in Southern California.
Definitely
Hawaii,
in Southern California.
Maybe, yeah.
Also in Costa Rica, when I left, it was just starting to get popular there because it's you don't need as much of a skill set to get started.
Right.
Being good at it is different, but to get started is not quite as difficult as, say, surfing, where you really need a lot of one-on-one time in order to really get going.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, when was that when you left? You said when you were leaving Costa Rica.
Well, I would see a couple of them started showing up probably somewhere, you know, around 2008, 2009.
Okay.
But it didn't really start to get popular where people were, like, offering them as rentals until maybe about 2014, 2015, somewhere in there.
Did they call it SUP then?
They did.
Yeah, I had read a quote from the guy that kind of started this Paddle Academy. We'll be introduced to him later. And he said, oh, yeah, paddleboarding has only really taken off within this past decade. And I was kind of surprised. So this is a very new, new thing.
Well, let's read more about it. Let's take the whole second column here on page 16. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good.
The man behind the program. The Paddle Academy was started by Mike Isert, a 53-year-old who was a college rower in the mid-90s, a national team kayaker who also competed in surf ski races through the years. Basically, if the sport had a paddle, Isert wanted to compete in it. When stand-up paddling first took off about a decade ago, Isert jumped aboard. 4 years ago, he decided to start a pilot program to see if there was enough interest to get kids together year-round to sharpen their SUP skills. My whole goal was to mentor kids, he said, to find kids that were just stoked on the ocean and who wanted to get in the water in a different way. The coach meets 4 days a week at Doheny State Beach with a group of kids, ages 8 through 18, whose levels and expertise vary. There are those as young as 8 who perhaps have no experience with the ocean. On the other end of the spectrum, there are kids inching their way to adulthood who are considered some of the best young SUP racers around.
We're going to find out more about this then, this Paddle Academy, because we find out that it's just about the last 10 years. We're just talking about that. And this man who was 53 years old, and tell us more about him.
Right. So Mike Isert is kind of the founder of the Paddle Academy, and he's had his own history in the water. I suppose it says here he was a national team kayaker, and he also competed in surf ski races, and so he just finds himself in the water a lot.
Well, in fact, it says he was a college rower. So they have in colleges, they have here in Asia, we have the dragon boat races and those people. There's a lot of things like that. And a lot of people like to go out in canoes. And is a kayak and a canoe a little bit different?
Oh, a kayak and a canoe is definitely different. A canoe is completely open, whereas a kayak is primarily closed, and then you sort of sit inside it.
Right.
Usually kayaks are just for single people, whereas canoe can be for multiple people. And then here they also mention this surf ski, which if people aren't really familiar with that, it's sort of a cross between when the rowing school. So when you're rowing in college, usually you're rowing crew. So that's a mm-hmm. lot of people who are sitting with these big oars on a very, very long, very,
right.
very, very skinny boat that can go really fast with their oars. So if you imagine sort of a cross between that and a kayak, where you're using a kayak paddle in the ocean, people, what they will do is they will paddle in wave swells and use the waves in order to travel long distances. And they can get up to about, 20, 30 kilometers an hour.
Wow.
Well, what they used to do more, they didn't before they had that, we'd go out and rowboats.
Mm-hmm.
Rowboats are a lot wider, and two or three people could sit in them, mm-hmm. and you could sit on one side, and your brother could sit on the other side, and you could row the rowboat. And those were kind of safer. I mean, you could sit in the boat, but in these other ones, they just, the waves knock you over.
It's certainly interesting to see the evolution of kind of the paddle boats and just the change over time of the different
mm-hmm.
things that are offered.
Did you ever go on a rowboat?
I have been out in a rowboat. Yeah.
Those are fun, too, aren't they?
They're a lot of fun.
But they're simpler.
They are simpler. There's also, if people are interested in whitewater rafting, there's a type of rowboat
that we'll use
in order to go through the waves, and I've done that as well.
That's true, yeah.
They're a lot of fun. They can be super maneuverable, but they can also be a lot of work to move around.
But to be one of these paddlers and this kind of thing, you take more balance, and it's probably a little bit harder.
Yeah, and it's, it also, you have to be in pretty good shape in mm-hmm. order to really
That's
move
true.
Things around by paddle.
Yeah. So, anyway, this fellow that started this, Mike Isert, he said he loved anything that had a paddle to it. It doesn't matter what it was. He just loved to do that, didn't he?
He did. And, you can kind of see this love for the water and the paddle extended out towards others, because he wants to bring in other people to have the same kind of experience. And so mm-hmm. it says 4 years ago he decided to start a pilot program.
Right.
So this word pilot, just kind of being a trial the first one. That's right, 4 years ago. Just to kind of see, I think, if there was an interest among kids to try this out.
Well, and it also says at the beginning of that sentence there, it says when stand-up paddling first took off.
Mm-hmm.
When something takes off, it means what? Just became popular?
Yeah, so when something really takes off, it means it becomes really popular fairly quickly, and a lot of people become interested in it.
So it just takes off. And then it says he decided to join the movement. So what words does it say he decided to join the movement?
Well, they say here, and this is kind of an expression that we use for boats in general, so or any kind of like vehicle you want to travel in, like a plane or a train,
that you
go aboard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here it says he jumps aboard, meaning that he decided to join and take part of it.
He joined the movement, mm-hmm. right.
right.
He didn't really jump someplace. He decided to take part in that movement.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he did that by offering these first round of classes and just to kind of spread this good news of paddleboarding among his community with kids.
Now, he started a pilot program. A pilot program means what?
Well, you know, I don't know if
people are... It's not flying an airplane.
No, definitely not flying an airplane. I don't know if people are familiar with this with TV shows, but a lot of time when they're going to create a new TV show, what they'll do is that they will film a pilot, and that is like Zach was saying, it's like the first time to get something started.
Right.
And then they'll show the pilot to the TV executives and maybe a little studio audience to see if it's going to be successful. So that's right. What they mean about a pilot program is just the first one to see if it's going to be successful.
Yeah, it just starts like an experiment, you know, and they say, let's see, if people like this, then we'll keep on. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to have a beginning one to see if people like it. That's called a pilot program, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah.
So he said, he see if there's enough kids that they could have this kind of a something that goes on all year, not just in the summer. And why did he want to do this?
Well, his goal all along was actually to mentor kids.
And to sharpen their skills, right?
To sharpen their skills, and I think to kind of offer a positive influence on their lives.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to mentor these kids, but, you know, he just thought that the kids that they wanted to get into the water in a different way, they just said, okay, well, let's figure out another way instead of just saying, let's go to the beach and go swimming. Let's give them something else that's more interesting to stoke their interest in it.
Yeah, here and they use this sort of expression that he is. So his first inclination was to find these kids who were really stoked on the ocean or really excited about or really interested in the ocean and to be able to kind of show them a different way that they can enjoy it.
So he's kind of going to be their coach. So he's got this kind of organization and they meet 4 days a week at this beach. And they have a group of kids. And how old are the kids?
Well, here the range says they're from 8 to 18, so a pretty big range.
8's kind of small, you know, but 18, it might be harder for them than the younger kids.
Right. Often, you know, when you're learning new hobbies, it's easier for mm-hmm. the younger kids who are still kind of developing.
Right. Like you take skiing or ice skating. If you're older, bigger, you fall farther, but your kid, it's easier.
Well, I also think of even like language learning. Sometimes
yeah, that's
for true. Kids,
yeah.
they pick it up faster.
Yeah, they do, yeah. And so he decided that he'd have these kids come down and he'd be there and mentor them. And those who were as young as 8 or have no experience with the ocean were the beginners, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so here he talks about how they have then on the other end of the spectrum. So a spectrum is kind of like a wide selection or wide degree of options or choices. And here, beginners would be on one end and experts would be on the other end of the spectrum. And of course, everybody falls in between. Not all 8-year-olds are going to be pure beginners and not all 18-year-olds are going to be professionals. But here is talking about how all these kids kind of like fit into the spectrum or the range of abilities.
Well, and it also says that these kids that are older, they are actually not just beginners. They're inching their way into adulthood, which is a very good phrase. This writer is using very colorful phrases. What does it mean to inch your way into something?
Well, they're growing into becoming adults.
But slowly.
Slowly,
so you don't
right.
do it by jumps and bounds. You do it inch by inch. It means slowly, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe another way to say this is step by step.
Right,
sometimes
that's good.
We say just like, one little bit at a time, so inch by inch, step by step, so slowly, but gradually and surely, right?
Mm-hmm. And some of them, even when they start when they're older, they become some of the best of the young, what they call these kind of super stand-up paddleboarders.
Mm-hmm.
They become some of the best ones. They go at it slowly, but then they really get at it, and they can really become good at it.
Right. And this Paddle Academy, they're teaching kind of the fundamentals, that mm-hmm. is the things that are required in order to be a successful stand-up paddleboarder. And some of these items include, like, water and ocean safety. So I think that's important.
Yes,
right? You want to stay safe.
Of course, yes.
Also, like balance and positioning is obviously involved.
Balance
when you're
is
trying.
Very important. Yeah,
you've got to. Yeah, it's all about standing up. And then they go on to say there's like stroke technician and just how to kind of control the board.
So he teaches them all that, mentors them, huh?
That's right. Some of these things are just what's included in some of the programs that he offers to the kids.
Well, I hope you guys have the magazine, but yeah, maybe you could read the caption for that.
Okay, sure. The Paddle Academy, which trains out of Dana Point, teaches paddlers everything from basics of the sport to how to excel in competitions. The group first does a warm-up on the grass and then hits the water to train.
So here, you know, it's kind of interesting that in order to really kind of get warmed up or get ready into the water, you don't jump into the water. You start off on the grass, right? You do a couple exercises there in order to kind of get familiar with the board and maybe some of the paddle strokes that you need to master before you get in the water. But I also wanted to mention here, maybe for some of our listeners who might be familiar with the word academy, we can also use that in a very specific sense where it's a school that just trains or is specializes in one form of education.
Okay.
So here is paddleboarding, but it could also be a military school.
Sure.
But also it could be a higher education, too. And we'll just talk
use
about...
Use that word academy.
Yeah, we'll use the academy also for specialized schools or for general higher education.
Another thing here, it talks about, you know, when you do anything, I don't care if you're learning dancing or swimming or whatever it is, you do start with warm-ups. You don't just go, even exercise. You don't just jump up and start to exercise. You do warm-ups. And that's important in learning, too, to take it step by step, even whether you don't say, I'm going to learn English and you memorize the dictionary. I mean, you have to do it step by step.
It's very true. And anytime I go out in the water, usually I will also go through sort of a regular kind of warm-up that I do. A lot of it involves stretching,
mm-hmm.
actually, just to kind of get the body ready in order to be able to work
whatever you do, right.
without straining itself.
Right. And I think that's key. You want to keep the body healthy, and you don't want to get injured.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about it more tomorrow, but this is kind of a different kind of classroom. It's a unique, different kind of mentoring, and we're going to find out who's doing it, and it might be something that your kids might like, but at least we'll find out more about it. So join us tomorrow, won't you? See you then. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Goodbye.